All right. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Boy, this has been an incredible service. And really, I want to thank, where's Pisco? Christian, thank you so much for taking us to the cross and sharing. And the worship has just been great. You know, we've sung some great songs. You know, in fact, I was at a funeral a few weeks ago and heard that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And so Ross, you know, each week he'll say, hey, man, is there something you want to? I was like, what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing that one because it's so true and it's fitting with what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, I am a little divided this morning. My better half is not here. Little guy has got a fever, and so Sari, you know, Mason at home, and Blair and I are here at church this morning, and but we're going on vacation after today, after service, so that'll help things. I don't know about you, but you know that hot news video was hot. It was also convicting. Because, you know, you think about some of the things we complain about. You know, we go home and we can't find the remote. It's stuck between the couch. And we're struggling. Hey, imagine being stuck in a cell for 5 hours. You know, cable, no cable, no. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But to see how God does what he does. It's just amazing. You know, last week Ross did an awesome job teaching us about how Jesus was a wonderful counselor. And today we're going to continue kind of with that theme. And I've entitled the message, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Because, you know, if you want to have a friendship with anybody, you want to be friends with Jesus. And he's always inviting us to be friends with him. You know, this picture here is a soldier from World War I. An English soldier watched in horror when his lifelong friend fell under gunfire. All the soldiers had to retreat. The soldier asked permission from the lieutenant to fetch his friend from the no man's land. The lieutenant agreed, but added, it's hardly worth it. Your friend is probably dead and you may die too. The soldier did not care about the warning. And miraculously, he reached his friend, lifted him to his shoulders and stumbled back. He was wounded in the process. The lieutenant helped him to safety and noticed the soldier's friend was already dead. I'm sorry for your friend. But I told you it wasn't worth it. Your friend is dead and now you are also seriously wounded. I have to disagree with you, sir. It was worth it, the soldier answered. What do you mean? The lieutenant wondered. It was worth it, the soldier repeated. When I got to my friend, he was still alive and said, Jim, I knew you would never leave me. And that's an example of true friendship. Jesus is the best friend you could ever have. Listen to his words. Greater love has no one than this. To lay down one's life for one's friends. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love me, keep my commands. You are my friends if you do what I command. I have told you. these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that you sent Jesus. That we have an example that we can look to through your word and understand what true friendship is all about. Father, this morning as we read your word, we want to pray that you open our hearts and minds, that we can be inspired by Jesus' example, but more than that, that we can decide to follow in his footsteps, and that we could be little Jesuses all over the place for you and your glory. God, we want to say a special prayer for my dear brother Willis Ware and his sister who's recovering or in the middle of having brain surgery. We want to pray that you would also be with Felix Pimental, who recently was diagnosed with cancer. Continue to comfort the Williams family in the loss of their dad. We also want to pray for Lazar's close friend who just lost his father. God, we know that we don't have it in us to deal with the things in life. But because of you, Father, we can overcome just like Jesus. And we can be just like him. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 8. Let's start there. John chapter 8. Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. John chapter 8. In verse 1, it says, John 8. Actually, verse 2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him and sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the crowd and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her," which was a law in Deuteronomy. If you accuse someone and, you know, you be the first one to throw the rock. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. I wonder why. The older ones first. Until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman," which was a polite gesture, "where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." You know, the first thing you notice why Jesus was a good friend is because he accepts us. He accepts us. You know, it's pretty amazing in this story here, and we could jump into why was there only a woman, and where was the guy, and how the Pharisees were constantly trying to trap Jesus so that they could, you know, have basis for charge on him. And this, I mean, it must have been crazy being around these guys. Jesus is like, "I'm just trying to do some good, leave me alone." But he didn't even say that. But yet, in this situation, we see the heart of Jesus and why he was such a good friend. This woman deserved death. The law teaches this is what happens. You do this and this is what happens. And, you know, it wasn't like he was condoning sin. But he didn't condemn her like the religious guys were doing that. And, you know, it just really shows the heart that these people had. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about her needs. And they just were using her to kind of get what they wanted. But Jesus, church, he says, I don't condemn you. You know, some of us here this morning, we condemn ourselves. And we do it pretty well to the point that we think there's no forgiveness. Like, I'm beyond forgiveness. If you think that way, I want to encourage you to understand something. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no amount of sin that can separate a person from God. But if you think that way, I want to encourage you to really get to know Jesus. Even if you're a disciple, even if you've been faithful for years, sometimes we dwell in the past. We think about things that are taking up space. It's renting space in our minds. And we got to evict those thoughts and start thinking about the real Jesus. We're not condemned. He doesn't condemn us. He accepts us. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to have a right relationship with God, so that they can enjoy the life in Christ, not just in heaven, but here on earth. And that's our God. You know, we're a lot like the sinful woman. We've lied, we've cheated, we've been immoral, impure, abusive, we've gossiped, we've manipulated. We've been self-righteous, lazy, indifferent, disrespectful to our parents. We've divided friends and family. We've been selfish, proud, full of hatred, discord, jealousy, envy, moments of rage, drunkenness, high, and the like. And what does Jesus say to us? Did no one condemn you? Neither do I. Now, some of us are sitting there saying, oh, Jesus is awesome. I like this guy. The story doesn't end there. He also went on to tell her, from this point on in your life, live differently. He said, now, leave your life of sin. You know why he tells us that? Because sin is terrible. Sin, it weighs you down. It separates relationships. It doesn't allow you to enjoy the life that God has for us in Christ. And that's why he tells us, leave your life of sin. Sin, you know, there's this video, this lady, she says, anybody got time for that? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anybody got time for that? That's what sin is like. I ain't got time for that. And some of you are like, what are you talking about, brother? Go check the video out. Sin, we don't have time for it. There's so much in life for God. He wants us to do. But let me tell you what. You know what true friends do? True friends remind you that sin, it wastes time. And it diverts you from what God wants for your life. We need to remember that Jesus accepts us. That's why he's such a great friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? He also protects us. Turn your Bibles to John 17. Let's read this together. John 17. And if you feel like I'm rushing a little bit, I might be. Vacation's knocking. No. I'm messing with you. John 15. I'm sorry, 17. There you go. I am rushing. Verse 11. Not only does Jesus accept us, he protects us. Let's read this. This is a prayer that he's praying with his disciples. And I imagine you being there, you being a disciple, and you hear these things come out of Jesus' mouth as he's praying. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. There's no other place in the Gospels where Jesus says this to God. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. Skip down to verse 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, because we need them in the world. The world needs them. But that you protect them from the evil one. Imagine you hear Jesus praying to his Father, and it's for your protection. It's for your, you know, comfort. And I can imagine, man, he wants his joy to be in me. And they were around him all the time. They saw his joy. They saw his healing. And now Jesus is praying for them, praying on their behalf. Keep them away from the evil one. You know, I don't know if you know this, but Satan just doesn't want to rough you up a little bit. Satan is the enemy. He wants to destroy your faith. He doesn't want to damage it. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants you to decide, well, if God is really good, then why is this happening to me? He wants you to doubt God's word. He wants you to distrust God's character. He wants you to distrust God's people. And so that we're looking at one another kind of, you know, sideways. Saying, where's that coming from? Why are you asking me about my Bible study or if I'm giving contribution? As if we're interrogating one another. Because we're holding each other accountable. Or we're concerned. You know, turn your Bibles to Luke 22 for a second. I want us to look at an example of Jesus' protection. Luke 22. Jesus is having a conversation with Peter. And, you know, you guys all know Peter was Mr. Impulsive and outspoken. And Jesus was telling, hey, Peter, you know, you're going to let me down, buddy. No, never. I'll never do that. Very, you know, self-confident. And Jesus is like, you know, no, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, but in verse 31, he says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. You know, Jesus prayed for Peter. And, you know, we know the story. It's true. Peter failed miserably when he denied Jesus 3 times. But you know what I love about Peter? He got knocked down, but he got up again. Ain't nothing gonna keep that boy down. His faith endured. He didn't go the way of Judas. He got back up. He kept going. His faith endured. He repented. And you know what? That day, he helped open the gate, open the doors of the kingdom on that day of Pentecost, just like Jesus said he would. But the fact is Jesus had to be, he was praying for him. You know, Romans 8:34 teaches us that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Romans 8 also, it teaches us about the fact that the Holy Spirit that God's given us, when we don't know what to pray, it's interceding for us. So we got the Holy Spirit. We got Jesus sitting at the right hand of God praying for us. We cannot lose, church. But let me tell you something. We also need to be praying for each other. I tell you, Lorraine Langevin, every time I see her, she says, how's it going, brother? With that smile, ting, ting, you know. She's got that million-dollar smile. She's always asking, how's the family? How's your mom? How's your dad? I'm praying for you. Guys, hey, please, keep praying for us. You know, sometimes I'll tell people stuff just so that you will pray. And if you are smart, you'll ask people to pray for you. And that's not that you're not smart if you don't, but you just haven't recognized you need some more prayers. You know what I'm saying? We need it. We need people praying for us. And see, Jesus prayed for the disciples because he said, God, protect them. You know, my wife's not here this morning, so I'm going to brag a little bit on her. My wife is the ultimate protector. Especially those that don't have a voice. The hurt, the injured. And boy, if you are a child of Sari Murdoch, you are in good hands. I love her compassion for people. I love the way she fights and she really wants to. And it reminded me of a story I found in an article in National Geographic several years ago. And it provided a penetrating picture. It says God's wings. A forest fire in Yellowstone National Park happened, and forest rangers began to trek up a mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched like a statue on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. When he struck it, 3 little chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered it under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She could have flown to safety, but had refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze had arrived and the heat had singed her small body, the mother had remained steadfast because she had been willing to die so those under the cover of her wings would live. It reminded me of Psalms 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Jesus protects us in ways that we have no clue he's protecting us. And Jesus had entrusted his disciples to the Father, and he's praying, showing his love for them, showing his confidence of them, but knowing they needed those prayers. Brothers and sisters, guests, you're visiting. What do you need prayers for? Who do you ask? Hey, I need you to pray for me about this situation. I want to encourage you with whatever you're challenging. Ask somebody to pray for you. Hey, small group, pray for me. And not just the stuff that we want. I got a test coming up. Pray for me. How's the studying going? Pray for me. Seriously. Sometimes we only pray when crisis happens. But pray for me. Pray for my heart to be fully devoted to the Lord. Pray for me to overcome my fears. Pray for me to not be afraid when I'm out there on campus or at my job, that I will stand up and share the good news. Pray for me to overcome my fear. Pray for me to have this conversation with this person that I'm afraid to have the conversation with. I don't know how it's going to go. Pray for me to be bold because God may be showing me something that I need to address with this brother's situation. Pray for me. You know, when the church starts praying, things start happening. I want to encourage you, small groups, pray together. We've been praying together as a staff for over 5 years or something like that, right? You know, I keep saying, oh, yeah, you know, let's start writing down prayer. I can't even remember the number of things God has answered prayers to. But he's answered prayers. And he will. But we got to pray. We got to follow that example. Because guess what? Satan doesn't want us to pray. And he'll get you busy enough so that you don't pray. You're literally too busy to pray. And you know what's crazy? If Christians don't pray, and Christians don't share the good news, and he can get Christians silent, he doesn't have to do that kind of stuff that we've seen in the video. Because the word doesn't get out. So let's pray. Let's spoil his day and let's pray like Jesus did. Jesus accepts us, he protects us, and lastly, he directs us. Turn to John chapter 21. We're almost there, church. John 21. Look at verse 15. John 21, verse 15. All right. Are you with me? John 21, verse 15. So we know the story. Jesus has come back from resurrected. The disciples have gone out fishing in the boat. Jesus calls them back. And now he is getting ready to reinstate Peter. In verse 15, it says, when they had arrived, when they finished eating, again, Jesus in his resurrected body, and he's eating. So that's pretty cool. Said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back and against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answers, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" You know, Peter was Peter. Peter was a guy just like us. Sometimes somebody says something to us and, you know, we're like, "What about them? What about him? What about her?" And, you know, it's just a weird. He wasn't talking. He was talking to you. And sometimes we do that, right? We deflect and we don't want to do. Jesus said, "Follow me." See, Peter had to learn what his real issue was. You know what his issue was? Himself. Himself. Hey, you know what our issue is? Ourself. And see, Jesus wants to direct us away from ourselves. Because quite frankly, following Jesus is not a natural thing. The essence of following Jesus means that we deny ourselves. And we don't do what we feel like doing. We deny that and say, "Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do?" And that's how followers of Jesus live. Now, again, when you're allowing Jesus to direct you, it's going to take you into some scary places. But that's the beauty of it. He's wanting to direct you because ultimately you're ending up with him. And you're going to become more like him. But, you know, we got these things called emotions. And they're from God. And emotions are good. Did you hear me? Emotions are good. They're not bad. They're good. We're humans. We're not robots. But when our emotions take over, rumors get started. Jesus was trying to help Peter understand something. Here's how you're going to glorify God. This person, he's going to glorify God a different way. But the whole focus is follow me. That's what you got to focus on. Following Jesus. Church, we got two areas that we need to do a better job in following Jesus. Can we talk about that for a minute? Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, "Come to me and I'll make you fishers of men." You know, some of us, we're throwing our lines out and we're waiting for about 3 seconds. Yeah, nothing out there. And we throw it out again and get a little hit and we get impatient. And we can be fishing a whole lot more. Reaching out to our friends, helping them. Hey, we've changed our entire structure, quote unquote, how we're doing things in the church so we can reach more people, so we can have people over, so we can spend time with our friends that don't know Jesus. But here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that we're replacing that and doing stuff that we just want to do, which is fine. But invite your friend and give him an opportunity or her an opportunity to get to know Jesus. I tell you, if you're fishing once a week, boy, you're going to be pretty skinny. We got to fish. We got to find those people that are looking because we're fishers of men because we're following Jesus. Are you with me, church? Here's the second thing. In the Great Commission, Jesus leaves. He says, baptize them. And then he says, teach them to obey. Let me tell you the difference between teaching and teaching to obey. Teaching to obey involves you having a conversation. Hey, how did it go? Oh, man, you know what? This happened, that happened. I didn't quite do it. Why? What happened? I got afraid. Oh, okay. So what do you do when you get afraid? What do you think? Well, I thought that person, when I asked this or I did this, they were going to do this and they were going to do that. And so I got afraid and, you know, I didn't quite do it the way, you know, I said I was going to do it. See, we got to learn how to work through stuff because what God wants is us to obey him, not know what to do, not quote the Bible. He wants us to actually do what he is saying because that's how you learn what it means to really follow Jesus, to actually carry it out. See, are you happy with just, I had good intentions, but I didn't quite do it? Let's not settle there. Let's have that conviction. I am going to obey Jesus because that's my friend. And not only is he my friend, he says if you're going to be my friend, he says you're going to obey my commands. Because that's when you realize what real obedience is. Loving people is one of the hardest things in the world to do. Hey, forgiveness is a difficult thing to do. You can't say, well, I thought about forgiving. I tried to love. No, no, no. You got to forgive. We got to love each other. Because that's what he actually says. I want to ask all of the small group leaders to stand up for a minute. If you lead in a small group, married, edge, singles, please just stand up for a minute. Stand up. Okay, I want us to give these brothers and sisters a hand, okay? And here's why. Thank you. Stay standing. You know, these brothers and sisters are taking on responsibilities beyond themselves. And some have 18 people in their small group. And I'm serious. Brothers and sisters, let's work together. Let's be a joy to each other. Let's help each other. If somebody's calling you, please call back. Texting you, please respond. Some of these people have kids and they can't run after you to say, hey, what's going on? You know, I've been calling you for a week. Now let's be a joy to each other. All right, let's help each other. Because we're trying to follow Jesus. And small group leaders are helping with smaller groups to help us follow Jesus. Amen. If you are a D group leader, stay standing. Everybody else, sit down. If you're a D group leader, and you'll know that if you... Okay. Now, these people are working with multiple small groups. And I really want to thank you for your heart, for your dedication. Because that's even harder. And I really appreciate what you're doing. So if you're a small group leader, let's help these people as well. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to follow Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat. We're trying to follow Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to boss each other around. We're not trying to do it. We're trying to follow Jesus. And see, when we allow Jesus to direct us, man, we're going to cooperate. We're going to collaborate. We're going to do some things. And guess what? Things are going to happen. Let me put that scripture up there. You know, let me tell you, I've been praying a lot because the needs in the church are great. And it's so encouraging when you're praying about something and then God does something out of the blue. Right? Picture. There you go. You see, look at that couple right there. Now, we've been praying about, oh, man, we need help. And things were kind of getting organized and things were here and there and whatnot. Well, God was whispering in the Mason's ear. And it was like, you know what? I need you to step up and lead this small group. So a couple months ago, Will and Judy stepped up and said, hey, we're going to start leading a small group. Let me tell you something. That was encouraging. And I know there's some more of us in here that have done the same thing. But, hey, let me ask you a question. What is God directing you to do today? What is he trying to get you to see maybe in your character so that you can experience a weakness becoming a strength? The Lord is moving. He's directing us. He wants us to follow him. See, are you listening and following instructions? Or are you just hearing but not quite obeying? You know, the true gospel call to follow Jesus, it's about following Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Absolutely. Is there trouble anywhere? All over the place. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? I don't think so. Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus accepts us, he protects us, and he directs us. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.